All right, we are starting Perek Yud Gimel. We ended off last week at the end of Perek Yud Beis, and we started the opening pasuk of Perek Yud Gimel, which is Ben Shana Shaul B'Malcho Ushtei Shanim Malach Al Yisrael. So if we translate that pasuk kipshuto, it means that Shaul was 1 year old when he was king, Ushtei Shanim Malach Al Yisrael, and he was king for 2 years. So two things in that pasuk are difficult. Obviously, the first one, Ben Shana Shaul B'Malcho, that's obviously can't mean what it seems to mean. He wasn't 1 year old, right?
He must have been a tall baby.
Right, he must have been a tall baby. He had a Benjamin Button sort of situation.
He's Rifko, seem like an elder if you're getting married at three.
Right, right. So Chazal have a drasha over here. Ben Shana Shaul B'Malcho means that he was like Keben Shana, that he was Keben Shana Lachet, meaning at this point in his life, he was really doing the right things. Whether he mamish had no chait, or whether the drasha is just to come and exemplify who Shaul was as a tzaddik, it was as if he was 1 year old, like a young, innocent child in regard to chait. The second part of the pasuk, however, is for me more troublesome, which is that Shaul was king for 2 years. Now, we mentioned this before, the chronology, and let's just speak about it for a second. Let's break it down a little bit. We're going to see most of Sefer Shmuel is going to speak about Shaul, or a nice chunk of it is going to speak about Shaul and the journeys and the travelings between him and the Plishtim, and him and David, and him running after David, and him and his family. And so the Riaz, amongst other Rishonim, asked a very simple question is, how is it that the Pasuk is telling us that he was only king for 2 years? So that's what the Pasuk says. So there are some Rishonim who say Shaul really was king for 2 years, like Kipshuto, just like the Pasuk says. And how do we fit all of these stories into 2 years? I don't know. They were very packed years. Right, and thing went from day to day because it's very hard to get around that pasuk. That's the Radak and Rashi and others. The Ralbag has an interesting shita that he felt that 2 years was 2 years after this story, meaning the story that we're about to learn is going to take place over a year. So it's an additional 2 years, meaning so he was King B'Sach HaKol for 3 years. And the Riaz, who was one of the Bali Tosfos, less known of the Bali Tosfos, has a comment over here, and he suggests something which I seem to think is the closest thing to Pshat, is that what the Pasuk is saying over here is, Ushtei Shanim Malach Al Yisrael, is that he was king for 2 years until David HaMelech was also Nimshach, and after he was Nimshach, after David HaMelech also became king, it was as if he was no longer really the king anymore. Although that he really had the central power, Nibchinat Shamayim, he was already not king. So it's interesting that we're opening our perek with this pasuk. Remember, three shitos. Either he was king for 2 years, either he was king for 3 years, or he was king for much longer. And really what the pasuk is coming to say over here is that after 2 years, it was considered as if he wasn't king anymore. But we started the Perek off with this, as we saw at the end of Perek Yud Beis, Shmuel's last speech to Am Yisrael, saying, "Don't leave Hashem. Follow the mitzvos, you and your king. And if you follow the mitzvos, so then everything's going to be okay. If you guys don't follow the mitzvos, so you and your king are going to perish." So this perek opens up with Ben Shana Shaul B'Malcho Ushtei Shanim Malach Al Yisrael. We saw Shaul as, I would say, a semi-king in the war, in his first battle against Ammon. At that point, what would you call him? Would you call him king? He was king mibchinat Shmuel. He essentially did have the Shemen HaMishcha, but mitzad Am Yisrael, they didn't really fully accept him as king, right? So as he was acting as this semi-king, he was Moshiach Am Yisrael, and he did amazing things. And we said that he was actually metaking the entire Sefer Shoftim with those amazing acts of courage. However, right away we're going to see that courage and that strength doesn't continue for very long. So let's get into it. Vayivchar lo Shaul shloshes alafim Yisrael. Shaul chooses after this ma'amad in which Shmuel, once again, Am Yisrael is makabla upon themselves, Shaul as a king. He takes 3,000 soldiers. Viewim Shaul alpayim b'michmash ubahar beis el. So he takes 2,000 of those soldiers, which patrol from michmash to har beit el. Ve'elef hayu im Yonasan. And 1,000 of them were with Yonasan, begivat binyamin, in Geva. V'yetar am shilach ish lo alav. So where were we? We were in Gilgal. He takes 2,000 soldiers. Yonatan takes 1,000 soldiers. It's interesting that Yonatan is not mentioned as Yonatan ben Shaul. Why isn't he mentioned as Yonatan ben Shaul? I'm not really sure. Either way, let's continue. Let's see. Why are they taking these soldiers? So on a simple level, they're taking these soldiers because the king needs a posse. Vayach Yonatan es nitziv plishtim asher begeva vishmu plishtim. Yonatan stands up in an act of rebellion against the Plishtim, kills the officers which are in Geva. We mentioned in Perek Yud, almost Bederech Agav, that the Plishtim, although throughout Shmuel's life, they were basically conquered by Am Yisrael, they reconquered the countries, but we said, as Shmuel became old, a lot of those cities were regained by the Plishtim, and they even had representatives and officers in central Israel. That means that they really have koach, and we're going to see that they even have more koach than just having representators. But what Yonatan over here is doing is he's essentially initiating an act of a rebellion against the Plishtim. He's going and he's killing these officers who are living in Geva. Vayishmu Plishtim, I'm going to answer your question in a second. The Plishtim here, Vishaul taka b'shofar b'chol ha'aretz le'mor, Yishmu ha'ivrim, and Shaul takes out his shofar, blows it, and kanireh, that's a sign for Am Yisrael to get together. Very interesting that if he had them all in Gilgal, why did he send them home and then do this? We're going to have to speak about that a little bit. But either way, this is the beginning of a rebellion. It's the beginning of a rebellion of, although we thought that Am Yisrael was at this high after the war against Ammon, mistaber that really they are not the ones who are in control. They're being controlled by the Plishtim. And they start this rebellion with Yonatan. Yeah.
So you asked, why isn't he said like Yonatan ben Shaul?
Right.
The Malbim says, Azazosh told me Das Aviv.
Oh.
He did this without Das Aviv. So, and I think that, I guess maybe the Malbim gets exactly from your question of, why doesn't it say ben Shaul? To show that he did this on his own accord.
Right.
This was not the Yonatan, the son of Shaul, that did it.
Right. So that's a good question. Does Yonasan do this on his own? Is this something which so the Malbim is picking up on obviously that question. I would claim that the Malbim's reading is a little bit hard because it seems that Shaul is meurav with this entire situation. Meaning it's not like he goes and he asks Yonatan what happened and it sounds like they're coordinated to some extent. That's why the Malbim's reading is a little bit more difficult, but the Malbim says it. Okay, so Shaul and Yonatan start this rebellion against the Plishtim. V'chol Yisrael shamu lemor hikash Shaul es nitziv Plishtim. There's so much chaos, so much drama, so many shmuot going around. Am Yisrael is starting to say, "Oh, Shaul, we heard that Shaul killed the Plishti officers." It wasn't Shaul actually; it was Yonatan. But once again, the Shmuot are going throughout Eretz Yisrael. Es nitziv plishtim v'gav nivash Yisrael ba'plishtim. And the Jews have now, they've been mivaish ba'plishtim. They're done with the oppression of the plishtim. Vayitzaku ha'am achrei Shaul ha'gilgal. And they start screaming, where is Shaul? Where is our king? Right? Where is he? U'plishtim na'esfu li lachem im Yisrael. The plishtim obviously taking this act as an act of a great rebellion, killing an officer, they get together and look at the koach, the power that they have, the military power that they bring together. Uplishtim na'asu lilachem im Yisrael, 30,000 rechev, v'sheshes alafim prashim. 30,000 rechev. However, does anyone remember the number of the Rechev that we mentioned by Sisera, 900. 900. How many do the Plishtim have?
30,000.
Shloshim Aleph Rechev. That's a lot. It's crazy. By Kriyas Yamsuf, there's only 600 Rechev. So we can understand that Paro was like a little bit debilitated by all of the Makos, but 30,000 Rechev, v'sheshes alafim prashim, v'am kechol asher al smas hayam marov. Although we thought that the Plishtim were like these Polshim, they really came with, they had really taken over. V'am kechol asher al smas hayam marov, v'yalu v'yachanu b'mechmash kidmas beis oven. Imagine what the Jews are feeling right now, right? They just had this miraculous war over Ammon. Shaul is king, and they hear that there's a rebellion against the Plishtim. Now, at this point, if you understand that the Plishtim really have koach, so the Jews should be shaking, right? Mamish so scared, and they're looking for Shaul. Who started this war? They heard they killed an officer, an act of war. V'ish Yisrael ra'u kitzar lo, ki nigash ha'am. The Jews saw that they had no chance. V'yischabu ha'am b'ma'aros, u'bachavim, u'baslaim, u'batzrichim, u'baboros. They did anything that they could to hide away. They went into the caves, and they went into holes, and they went into tunnels. They couldn't show their face because they knew the Plishtim were going to destroy and demolish Am Yisrael with this army. The Ivrim of Ruas HaYardein, Eretz Gad, the Gilad, and some of the Jews ran over to the side of the Yardein to the Eretz Gilad, the Shaulo Denuba Gilgal, the Cholaam, Chardu Acharav. So we hear two parts in this pasuk. First thing is that it's interesting that the Jews over here in this pasuk and in the pasukim before is that the Ivrim of Ruas HaYardein. Why are they called Ivrim? So we know they're Aver HaYardein, but usually they're called Bnei Yisrael, and even in the pasuk before is V'ish Yisrael. But over here they're called V'Ivrim of Ruas HaYardein. Where are they going? What are they doing? They're essentially running away. They're running away to Aver HaYardein because they realize that they're going to be demolished. The Plishtim aren't in control on Aver HaYardein, so they figure they could run away. V'sho'ulo denu ba'Gilgal, Shaul still in Gilgal, v'chol ha'am chardu acharav, and they're looking for Shaul, who's our king, who's going to be our savior. Not everyone could run away. Not everyone could hide. Am Yisrael is in a great, great tzara. So now, we're going to get back to that original instruction which Shmuel gave Shaul some days before. When Shmuel anointed Shaul to become king, he said there are going to be some things that are going to happen, right? You're going to meet those Nevi'im, and you're going to see those people, and they're going to give you bread. And the last of the instructions in which he says in Perek Yud is what? Is that you're going to, later on down the line, you're going to have to wait around in Gilgal for 7 days. Wait around until I come back. Wait around until I come back. Don't bring korbanos. Just wait. So the pasuk says, "Vayochel shivat yamim lemoed asher Shmuel velo ba Shmuel haGilgal." So what is Shaul, chaver? What is Shaul doing in Gilgal? He's following Shmuel's words. Shmuel told him, after you become king for the second time, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait. Why are the Plishtim attacking? Or why is Yonasan attacking at this point? Meaning, why is this entire crisis happening? Kanira, all of this was planned. Remember how we saw that Shmuel had all of those conversations with Shaul that in which we weren't really told what they discussed. They were on the roof twice, and they told the Nar to go ahead. We weren't exactly sure what they were talking about. Kanira'eh, Shmuel and Shaul had some sort of plan. Shmuel knowing the situation in which, yes, Ammon was attacking, but there was a bigger problem. The bigger problem was the Plishtim. And the Plishtim were strong, And Shaul could be king, but if Shaul is not going to save the Jewish people from the Plishtim, so then that's going to be an issue. So Shmuel and Shaul are already starting a, they're starting this plan. And they can't just start a rebellion in broad daylight, right? So it has to be planned out before. It has to be, the steps have to be taken slowly, and there needs to be a process. But at the same time, Shmuel gives Shaul instructions that he needs to stay in Gilgal until I come back. Why does he have to stay there? He has to stay there because, remember, the connection between the Navi and the king is one which is binding, is one which essentially says, yes, you have Koach as a king, but at the end of the day, everything comes from Hashem. So we are going to start this rebellion, and you're going to send Yonatan to go and do your dirty work, and the Plishtim are going to get upset. They're going to realize that you have just made Shaul king. They're going to Kanireh follow with some sort of attack. So what are we going to do? He sends Yonatan ahead, kills these officers. Kanireh starts this sort of rebellion. They have they have this surprise a little bit, but Shaul needs to stay in Gilgal. And Shaul is staying in the Gilgal, and he's waiting. And the seventh day has come. Vayochal shivat yamim lemoed asher Shmuel, velo ba Shmuel ha-Gilgal. Shmuel is a no-show. He's not there. Vayafat ha'ame alav. So Am Yisrael is shaking in fear. So what do they do? Also, we have to understand, if we just understand a little bit more of the geography, the Gilgal is at a low point, okay? It's in the Jordan. It's at a low point versus the Hare Beit El are on the mountains. And that's where the Plishtim are really coming down from. So the Jews are also at a not exactly the best place to be getting together to start fighting a war against the people at the mountaintops, right? Right. So Shaul is sitting there. Everyone's hiding away. People are running. They're running away to Jordan. And Shaul has this army of 2,000 soldiers, and people are starting to jump boat. We're not going to stay around like sitting ducks for the Plishtim to come and slaughter us and our families. So they start, Vayafat ha'ame Allah. They start running away. Vayomer Shaul, so Shaul realizes that he has to do something, and he says, Hagishu alai ha'ola v'ashlamim v'yal ha'ola. So Shaul takes this korban and he says, okay, we're going to start. You know, maybe Kanira, just to push them off a little bit, let's start with the korban. The Plishtim are coming. Vayi kechalosol alos ha'ola. As he finishes to bring this korban, v'nei Shmuel ba. Shmuel shows up right after he finishes. Vayitzei Shaul l'krasol v'archo. And Shaul, obviously so happy, goes to embrace and bless Shmuel. Vayomer Shmuel me'asita. Shmuel says, what did you do? Vayomer Shaul. So Shaul answers back. Ki ra'isi ki nafat ha'am. Let's pay attention to his timers. Ki ra'isi ki nafat ha'am. They're running away. I'm going to be left with no one here. Kinafatza amelai vatalo batal moed hayamim, and you didn't show up on time. Uplishtim nesafim michmash, and look at the plishtim at michmash. They're all the way at the top. They're about to come. Three tainas. Two of them. First of all, what's the problem? Vomar, and just the last person. Vomar, I tell you, do plishtim alai Gilgal. Upnei adonai lo chalisi vesapak veala ola. And I saw that. Kilo, I want a little bit of siyata d'shmaya. The Plishtim are about to come. You're a no-show. Everyone's running away. I want some siyata d'shmaya. So what? I'm going to bring a korban. That's the right thing to do, Shaul says. So I brought the korban. Vayomer Shmuel, so he says back to him. Vayomer Shmuel al Shaul. Niskalta lo shamarto es mitzvas Adonai Elohecha. You've mistaken. You made a terrible mistake. You didn't listen to what Hashem said. Hashem Elokecha Asher Tzivcha Ki Ato Hichin Adonai Es Mamlachtecha El Yisrael Adolam. You were supposed to be king forever. Ve'ata Mamlachtecha Lo Sakum. You are not going to be king forever. Bikesh Adonai lo ish kilovavo, vaitzaveo Adonai lenagid alamo, kilo shamarta es asher tzivcha Adonai.
I'm saying, from Yaakov to Yehuda.
I don't know. That's what Shmuel says.
What? One of the opinions says, like, you're supposed to be vice for your brother.
Yeah, but I mean,
couldn't, right?
In a kingship, like a vice for is in a kingship, right?
Either way, let's. It's an important question, but we have an even more important question that we have to deal with. What is Shmuel's problem?
Is it the same problem as Moshe with the rock?
What's the problem?
It's not inherently the act that was wrong. It was the act of losing your cool in the face of the nation. Of, as soon as the nation starts running away, instead of saying, no, we're going to stand strong. Like, I told you guys this, and it was my conviction, I believe, 7 days, and I'm standing strong. And he crumbled. I said, okay, guys, don't run away. We're gonna do some stuff, and like, it's all gonna be good. Like, sometimes actions isn't always. They are very important, but sometimes there's time and patience. And
what does Shoal essentially say? Shoal essentially says, "I see the Plishtim coming down." This is, if I were to like reframe his words, he would say, like, this is like a big shasat chak. Could be that Shmuel got stuck on the way or something. I'm the king at the end of the day. I have to like make decisions. When does this happen? Does it happen on the 7th? Does it happen on the 8th day? So the Mefarshim understand that this is happening likrat hashkia. This is happening towards the end of the day. Shoal doesn't wait until the end of the day. Shoal, once again, like what Justin is saying, is crumbling a little bit under the pressure. But that's not really what the problem is. That is a big problem. But what Shmuel says is that you didn't listen to Dvar Hashem. You didn't listen to Dvar Hashem. What was Dvar Hashem? Dvar Hashem was, wait until the end of the 7th day. You didn't wait until the end of the 7th day. And therefore, your malchus is going to be taken away from you. With that bad? That bad? So I think you have to say the following. If you look at the description here, and you look at the description of last week's Parsha, you'll find so many comparisons, right? Vayar ha'am ki boshesh Moshe milavo, right? Aaron sees that Moshe's not coming down. Vayafat ha'am, and the Jews start saying things, and Aaron is getting scared, and he makes something. He brings a korban. Shaul brings a korban. There are so many comparisons. What's the greatest comparison? The greatest comparison is essentially that they both bring a korban, but a korban essentially at its core, the only reason why we bring korbanos is because Hashem told you to bring a korban. If Hashem didn't command you to bring a korban, you don't bring a korban. There's nothing inherently holy about shechting a cow besides for the fact that you're... But when you bring a korban, what are you saying? I'm saying right now that this is what Hashem wants. So both Aaron and Shaul, what their failure is that they both bring a korban, but Hashem didn't tell them to bring a korban. Don't bring a korban. No one asked you to do anything. You have clear instructions. Aaron has clear instructions. Shaul has clear instructions. Yes, he crumbles under the pressure, but it's so much deeper than that. It's the understanding that just in the parak that we just read was follow Hashem's words, follow Hashem's words, follow Hashem's words. Out of Sof, things could look bad, and things could, and you know, if it was me in Shaul's situation, seeing the Plishti army coming down and people running away, it could be that I would have done the same thing. But a king needs to have oz, needs to have strength, but he also has to have emunah in Hashem. He also has to have emunah in the Navi. And if he doesn't have that, he's not roy to be king. So it's essentially just a mida keneged mida. It's essentially just a product of his actions. You're just not matim. If you can't handle it, that's okay. Not everyone is matim to be king. A king is supposed to be a great giant. But Kanirei, you're not ready. Kanirei, you're not ready. I think that's what the big issue is. Vayakam Shmuel, Vayal min ha-Gilgal, Givas Binyamin. Shmuel, this is the craziest part of it all. Shmuel, doesn't even stay to, for the fireworks. He just leaves. Vayifkot Shol is ha-Am hanim tzayim imo, kesheish melos ish. Shol is left over with 600 people. He started off with 2,000. He's left over with 600 people. And there's literally an army at the top of the mountain with 30,000 chariots. And he's left down there with 600 people. And Yonatan is somewhere stabbing people with 1,000 people. And everyone else is like suitcases running across the Jordan, trying to get onto last flights. That's what's going on. And it's so interesting that Shmuel doesn't stay around. What is Shmuel saying?
What is he supposed to do? He's super old now.
But
I hear the
other. He can't just watch.
Right. He's not trying to spy, though.
Either
guy. There's no Mila Hashem Elai.
And then he charges forward and gets like
he doesn't trapped. Have to. No, get in his wheelchair. I don't know. No, but I'm saying
he could just gather people. He doesn't have to be the one leading out of battle. Moshe, the first battle the Jews have.
Right, he just stands with his hands.
A physical role. Right. So maybe it's a spiritual role.
Sam, I'm not sure. Chevra, I don't want to be mitkatrig against Shmuel and Avi, but it's just interesting that he leaves. Vishol v'yonasan beno v'am hanimtza imam yoshvim begeva binyamin. So they go back to Geva. Everyone goes back to Geva. So now they have 1,600 soldiers, or however many soldiers they get together. What do they call the army of the Plishtim? The Mashchit. What's a Mashchit? The destroyer.
This is Raider.
Huh?
Raider.
The Raider. I think of someone with a crazy mask or something. Right? A serious military split up into three different commando units. Harosh echad yifne al derech Ofra al eretz Shual. One is going towards Ofra. The Harosh echad yifne derech Beit Choron, which we know obviously Beit Choron from Sefer Yoshua. The Harosh echad yifne derech Gvul hanishkaf al gei hatzovim hamidbara, and one is going towards the desert. They're here to destroy. It's clear. They're not here to just kill Shaul. They're not here to just kill those soldiers. They are here to mamish destroy Am Yisrael. That's it. Plishtim higanu, palashnu, and that's it. We're here. We're here to conquer, and that's it. V'charash lo yimatze b'chol eretz Yisrael. And now, if we weren't convinced, and we're going to go just 2 minutes over. If we weren't convinced that the Plishtim really had koach, and they weren't really the conquerors, and they weren't the Iker inhabitants of this area, this pasuk will tell us that that's the case. V'charash lo yimatzei b'chol Eretz Yisrael. There were no blacksmiths in the entire land of Eretz Yisrael. Ki amru plishtim pen ya'asu ha'ivrim cherev o chanit. Because the plishtim knew, as soon as they came in, they conquered the land, what do? Take away the weapons. Take away the blacksmiths. I'm not going to leave you a blacksmith so you can make swords. Vayirdu chol Yisrael haplishtim lil tosh is es machrashto veseiso ves kardumo ves machrasheto. And ad kedei kach that the Jews needed to go down to the Plishti country to fix their metal farming tools. I mean, the Plishtim really tafsu otam katsar. There's no, you're not going to trick me and make some, Vaisaf tzirapim lemacharei shos uleisim ulishlosh kilshon ulakardumim ulatziva dervan. All these different metal objects. Vayabi yom milchemes, on the day of the war, as Shaul and these 1,600 people get together to fight. Vilonimtza chere vechanit biyad kolam. They have no weapons. Zero. Asher es Shaul ves Yonasan. And Shaul and Yonasan miraculously are able to find a weapon, but no one else has a weapon. And the Plishti army starts starts to come in. I'm like, you know, like the parak like ends off on like this. Whew, like I just want to hear what happens, but just imagine what Am Yisrael is at right now. Like there are these farmers. They don't have any weapons. They're like the chevra that went along with Shaul throughout this entire story are heroes. They don't have anything. You know, when we see David HaMelech later with the slingshot, why does he have a slingshot? He has a slingshot because the Jews still don't have weapons. Right? That's the plishtim. Okay, we'll pick this up tomorrow. Shkoyach.